Good morning, girls and boys.
Good morning.
Matthew chapter 1, the very first chapter of Matthew's Gospel, which is, of course, the first chapter of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 1. Nice to see you all back in harness after a wee holiday, and we're marching on toward the end of the year. How time passes, boys and girls. You probably don't even notice it. But an old fellow like me does. Let's turn to God's Word this morning. We're in Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to look at the verse 21. I think I told you, I'm sure I told you, that we're starting a new series. And the subject of this new series of studies is very simply the things said about the Lord Jesus. We were looking earlier in the term at some of the things the Lord Jesus said by way of questions that he put to people. Well, now we're going to look at the other side of the coin, as it were, and consider some of the things that were said about the Lord Jesus. Here's one of the first things said about him. Verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We'll emphasize and underline that last part of the verse. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. You know, boys and girls, the chief topic of the Bible is the Lord Jesus. You'll take a step forward in your understanding of the Bible if you grasp that simple truth. Many people say, what's the Bible all about? Well, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Who he is, what he came to accomplish, why he died on Calvary, where he is now, and when he's coming again. That's the topic of the Bible. The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. He's spoken of from the very beginning of the book of Genesis right to the very end of the last chapter of the book of the Revelation. It's all about the Lord Jesus. And when you read your Bible, look for him. Look for him. You'll find him everywhere. Listen to what we read in Acts chapter 10 and verse 43. To him gave all the prophets witness. Isn't that interesting? Every one of the prophets witnessed, spoke of the Lord Jesus. So, when you turn to the prophets, and maybe you're sometimes a little puzzled at some of the things they were saying, just remember this. Whatever it was they were saying, they were witnessing to some aspect, some point, about the Lord Jesus. His person, his work, his plans and purpose. That's what the prophets were talking about. They weren't wandering around, spouting out their own notions. That's what many preachers do today, but not the prophets whose labors are recorded in the Bible. They all bore witness of the Lord Jesus. And then, here's another testimony to this truth. It's found in Luke chapter 24 and the verse 27. And these are the words of the Lord Jesus. We all have heard, at least to some measure, of the two on the road to Emmaus. The Savior has been crucified, and there are two on the road to Emmaus. They're going away from Jerusalem, where the Savior had been crucified. They're going away despondent, disappointed, and in misery. And the Lord Jesus drew near to them. They didn't recognize him, and he talked to them. What's wrong with you, he said. And then they said, well, we had high hopes that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah. But look what's happened to him. He's been crucified. And we've been thrown into confusion by the fact that there are those who say he has risen from the dead, and we just don't know where we are. The Lord said to them, and he was a little cross with them. The Lord can get cross with you, you know, when you don't believe his word. And he called them fools. That's a pretty strong word. They were being very foolish in their attitude. And they said, oh, fools, and slow to believe what the prophets have said. And then we read in the verse 27 of Luke 24, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Two alls there. All the prophets, all the scriptures. And the Lord Jesus showed those two on the road to Emmaus where he was referred to in all these places. I can imagine him walking along and quoting verse after verse after verse, because the Lord didn't have any problems remembering. He is the Word of God. So within him, his mind and his heart, there is everything that's here in the Bible. And so he would have quoted just one after another, the verses, right through the scriptures. That was some lesson. I don't know how long they would have been walking, maybe an hour, maybe two. And the Lord filled that time with quotations showing that all the prophets, including Moses, in all the scriptures, had been speaking of him. So you please understand and ever remember that that book you have in your hand speaks of Christ, chiefly speaks of Christ. If all the prophets spoke of the Savior, we can surely see that if I were to attempt to consider all the things that people said about him here in our studies, we would be here a long time. In fact, I don't think I will live long enough to get the study finished, if that's what we were going to do, because there's hundreds and hundreds of things said about the Lord Jesus in the Bible. But I'm not going to try to draw your attention to all the things that have been said, but I'm going to select some very important things that we read. Not that there are those things said of the Savior that are not important, but some of the statements really sit out from others by being clear declarations about the Lord Jesus. And we're going to start in the New Testament. And we're going to start in the first chapter of the New Testament. And here we have a statement made by an angel. You see, even the angels talk about the Savior. Would you look at the verse again? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The angel in this instance, I believe, is Gabriel, same angel who appeared to Zacharias. You can read about that in the opening chapter of Luke's Gospel. He appeared to Zacharias to tell him that he was going to have a son, John the Baptist. And later, in Luke chapter 1, the same angel appeared to Mary to tell her what he had already told to Joseph here in our text. There was going to be a son born to her, and she was to call his name Jesus. But to turn back again to Matthew chapter 1 and the verse 21, from what is said here by the angel, we can see the purpose, the reason for which the Savior has come into this world. Do you see that? Now, it's very plain, isn't it? Look at it. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's very simple. You understand that. But do you know something? There are millions and millions and millions and millions of people out there in the world, and they haven't a notion as to why Jesus came. You don't know. A lot of preachers and ministers don't really know. I'm not talking about ministers in our church or in churches like ours that believe the Bible, but there are many churches that don't believe the Bible, and the ministers of those churches stand up and tell the people things about the Lord Jesus that are absolutely wrong. Many ministers would say the Lord Jesus came into this world just to show us an example how to live, and we are to live like him. Well, if you were to try for a billion years, you could never live like the Lord Jesus. He was perfect, we're sinful. They tell the people that it is by copying the Lord, imitating the Lord, making him our example, that's how we're going to get to heaven. Well, if you are going to get to heaven by imitating the Lord, you're never going to get to heaven. No, the Lord Jesus didn't come to set us an example, though he is an example for us to examine and look upon and learn from, but he didn't come to save us by setting forth himself as an example. He came to save his people from their sins by dying at the cross. Here's the purpose then. That's what the verse teaches us. That's what the statement, the thing that is said by the angel, that's what it teaches us. He came to save his people from their sins. I want you to notice that salvation has been planned for a long time. It had been planned before the Savior came. These words indicate that he has come to save. He's come as a result of a decision taken before his coming. He is coming in the outworking of a plan that was led by God before the Savior was born. The plan of salvation is very old. It's very old. And as we think of the preaching of the gospel and the appeal to sinners to come to Christ, that's the outworking of a plan that is very old. In fact, boys and girls, it's so old, we can't put an age to it. Every one of you here know the date of your birth. You celebrate it every year, and you want everybody to celebrate it with you, and to get you a nice cake and a few presents. But when the plan of salvation began, we don't know. It began before time began. Bear that in mind. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, you older ones, please do look it up, because there is no better method of getting something lodged in your mind than actually reading it and seeing it. 1 Peter, that's way back towards the end of the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 1, and it's the verse 19 we're starting at. Peter's telling us how we're not redeemed. We're not redeemed by silver and gold, but we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily, who truly, that's what the word verily means, who truly was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. Was shown in these last times for you. The purpose of God to save sinners through the death of his Son, the Lord Jesus, was planned before the foundations of the earth were laid. Oh, it's a very old purpose and a very old plan. I might say this of this plan, it's most certain to be accomplished. You see what the angel said? I remember what I have told you, I don't know how many times. Note carefully every word, and look at what the angel said. For he shall save his people from their sin. Do you see the word I want you to look at that speaks of certainty? He shall save. It doesn't say he hopes to save. He might save. He possibly will save. It doesn't say that. That would always put a bit of a question mark over whether or not the plan of the Savior would be carried out. But the verse says, and this is what the angel said to Joseph, he shall. What God sets out to do, boys and girls, he accomplishes. Nobody can stop God carrying out his plan. Not the devil. And nobody knows that better than the devil. The devil would have you believe that God might fail. But not for a moment does he believe that. You ought to ever remember this. What the devil whispers in your ears, he doesn't believe. He wants you to believe it, but he doesn't believe it. He knows it's a lie. There's no doubt that what God plans, he will accomplish. He shall save. Praise God. In heaven, there will be one day everyone that God planned to save. Not one missing. Not one lost. You remember the parable of the lost sheep? The Savior went out after him, caught him, put him on his shoulders, and carried him home. He didn't say, "Oh, he's lost, I'll not bother about him, I'll look after the 99 and take care of them." He was determined to get the lost sheep home. He accomplished that. Then again, notice that the Lord, and this is very important, the Lord has a chosen people. See what the angel said? He shall save who?
His people.
His people. A people chosen by God from before the foundations of the earth. You see, God's plan of redemption was laid out, set up before the foundations of the earth. Before time began, in eternity, this was planned. And part of that plan was, God said, I will save him and her and him and her. And he looked out on the mass of humanity that were yet to be even born in the earth. And he saw those whom he chose for himself, his people. It's a mystery, boys and girls. I don't know why the Lord Jesus chose those that he did. There was no good in them. He didn't choose them because they were good. No, it was a sovereign act of his will, which we can't really understand, but we do know that from all eternity God set his love upon a particular people. A particular people. I sort of hesitate to ask the question because it requires me to go into some details in order to answer the question. But I'll ask it. Are you one of his people? Are you one of his people? I just thought of the answer. I was troubled, you see, as I was approaching this question in my mind. I need to be very careful because I've got to answer it clearly to the boys and the girls. And even as I put the question to you, the Lord in mercy gave to me the answer. And if you'd like to see the answer, it's found in John's Gospel. How good it is to see you immediately turning to your Bibles to look it up. That's so lovely. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And there in John chapter 10, and we'll look at verse 14 of John chapter 10. The Lord Jesus says something that is very important. I am the good shepherd. Now you know that, don't you? You've heard that before. Well, he says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. Know my sheep. Look at the title he gives them. My sheep. So the Lord has a people that he calls my sheep. We have asked the question, are you among them? Are you one of the Lord's sheep? And I've got to tell you how you might know you are one of the Lord's sheep. Look further down the chapter. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So you can know whether or not you are one of the Lord's sheep, because those that are the Lord's sheep hear his voice, know his voice, and follow him. They hear his voice as the gospel is preached. They hear what it is he wants them to do, and they do it. They obey the gospel. So, in asking you the question, are you one of the Lord's sheep? I'm giving you how you may know you are one of the Lord's sheep. If you have obeyed the gospel, if you are following the Lord Jesus, then you're one of his sheep. You're one of his sheep. You've often heard the story of what it is the Savior's referring to here. It was the practice in Israel for more than one shepherd. Let's say half a dozen shepherds to bring their flocks at night time and put them all into one big fold, a fenced off area. So there they all were, half a dozen flocks of sheep, mingling and mixing themselves up together during the night. And in the morning the shepherd comes. How's he going to tell which one's his and which one isn't? Well, very simply, here's what the shepherds did. They went in among the sheep through the door, and they walked in among all the sheep, hundreds and hundreds of sheep. As they walked, they spoke, they called them. And the sheep that were of that shepherd's flock recognized his voice. And as he walked amongst them speaking, they began to follow in behind him. The other sheep who weren't his flock, they didn't know his voice. They would have been going away from him. But those that were of his flock, they came to him and they followed in behind him. And so after a little while of mingling around amongst the sheep, he would have headed for the door and he would have gone out of the fold and his flock would have followed him. And all the other sheep would have stayed away, stayed behind. Are you one of the Lord? Have you heard His voice? And are you following Him? Do you read your Bible in order to hear His voice every day? And on reading the Bible and hearing His voice, are you obeying it? Are you obeying it? The Lord is a chosen people, boys and girls. A chosen people. Chosen from all eternity. I'll say one more thing and then we'll come to a close. I would want you to notice what the Lord Jesus has come to do. The angel said, He shall save His people from their sins. The word save there means rescue from danger and destruction. Rescue from danger and destruction. We have mentioned the fact that the Lord likens His people unto sheep. And there's one thing about a sheep that you need to remember. It's silly. And it doesn't know what danger faces it. I remember a brother, a Christian man, belongs to a church not far away from here, who kept sheep. And they used to say when it came round to lambing time, usually the springtime, when the mammy sheep would bring out their little babies, the lambs, he used to say you had to watch ever so carefully, because the mammy sheep would lie down in the most dangerous place. So that when her little lamb was born, it was born into danger. He had a little river that run through his fields. And they said, time and time again, there would be the mammy sheep right on the edge of the river, bringing forth her little lamb. And there would be it, when it's just born, staggering about. And it would fall into the river. If he hadn't come and shifted the mother lamb and drove her back from the edge of the river to a safer place in the field. Sheep don't know danger. And it's the same with us. You here this morning, if you're not saved, you don't know the danger you're in. Jesus came to save us, that is, deliver us from danger and destruction. You're not aware of danger. You don't feel any danger. Although the Bible's telling you all the time, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. That's the warning of the Bible. And it's repeated time and time again throughout the Scriptures in various fashions so that you're left without a shadow of a doubt that if you're not saved, you're in great danger. Sin will bring you to everlasting ruin. But the Lord Jesus has come to save sinners. For the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a wonderful thing was said by the angel Gabriel then. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. His name means Savior. That's what Jesus means. That's what the name means. Savior. I shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Are you saved this morning, boys and girls? Are you? May you give serious thought to this matter. And if you're not saved, may you come to the Savior, the only one who can save. Let's bow in prayer. We ask thee, Lord, to bless your word to the boys and the girls. And we thank thee today for Jesus, who has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And I pray, Lord, you will speak today, and that there will be a hearing of thy voice and a following of thee amongst the children here. Bless our school. You know its needs, Lord, and you will provide for it. Do answer prayer for children, for teachers, for parents. We ask this in our Savior's name. Amen. Amen.